Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show. Filling in for Brian today, I'm Juan Manuel Benitez, the host of Pura Política on New York One Noticias and the co-host of the New York One podcast, Off Topic on Politics. The state of New York is suing the Trump administration again. In fact, just this week, Attorney General Letitia James has filed two lawsuits. She's here with us and will tell us why. Also on the show today, what's up with Greenland? Why is President Trump so obsessed with buying that territory? And why is Denmark so annoyed by his persistence? We will speak to Slate's War Stories columnist, Fred Kaplan, about it. And if you are from Greenland or Denmark, we will take your call. We will also take your call if you recently traveled from or to LaGuardia Airport. It's been a summer of hell for passengers trying to come into or get out of that airport. Our colleague, WNYC Gothamist reporter Christopher Robbins, will explain. Also, how about some island hopping without leaving New York City? Do you know that our great city has almost 30 different islands? How many of them have you been on? Robert Sullivan and David Haskell from New York Magazine have all the details. And I have to say, today is a really special day for me, not only because I get to host this great show, not only because I get to sub for the great Brian Lehrer. 20 years ago today, I arrived in New York City, August 22nd, 1999. Me and my big suitcase landing on this great metropolis I call home, a city so similar and so different to today's. How about you, listeners? If you weren't born here or didn't grow up here, how long ago did you come to New York? What do you remember from that New York? When do you know that New York was your home? We will be taking your calls on that around 11:15. Now, my first guest, she was born and raised in New York. This week, she filed two more lawsuits against the Trump administration over the new public charge rule and over the Hudson River cleanup. Let's start with the first one. New York State Attorney General Letitia James says this new public charge rule is racist. Announced last week by Citizenship and Immigration Services, this expanded public charge rule will deny visa extensions and permanent residency to legal immigrants who get some kinds of public assistance like Medicaid and food stamps. Public assistance, we have to say, they are entitled to. It's a small fraction of legal immigrants, but city and state officials fear many immigrants, regardless of their status, would be too scared to even seek medical attention. Joining that lawsuit, the states of Connecticut and Vermont and the city of New York. If a judge doesn't put a stop to the rule in the next few weeks, it will take effect on October 15th. Attorney General Letitia James, thank you so much for being with us today here.
So first, Juan, let me just say congratulations and thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your public service. Thank you for being a voice for the countless number of individuals who are hiding in the shadows this morning. Thank you for standing up on behalf of vulnerable and marginalized populations. You truly are a visionary and a voice of reason. And to Brian Lehrer, wherever you are, enjoy your vacation.
Thank you so much. Let's start with your lawsuit over the public charge rule. Under what grounds are you suing the Trump administration?
So first, let me provide some text. We have filed the Office of Attorney General since I've been in office, and I've been in office now 8 months, 8 months and 22 days. We have filed 17 lawsuits against the federal government since taking office, and the Office of Attorney General since January 2017 has filed a total of 68 lawsuits against the Trump administration, ranging from issues of reproductive rights to the travel ban, the Muslim ban, to immigrant rights, to the environment, to public health, to housing, and the list goes on and on and on. Each and every day, this administration, unfortunately, is engaging in some sort of rollback of some rule that was put in place by the Obama administration. So this, all of these rollbacks to all of the laws that have provided much relief to countless number of Americans, obviously, does a disservice to New Yorkers, and it's my obligation and my duty to stand up and represent the rights and interests of New Yorkers. This week, we filed a lawsuit, again, along with Connecticut and Vermont, against the Trump administration, against the public charge rule, because it breaks both the value and the spirit of the law. The public charge rule was created basically to prevent individuals who were solely dependent upon public assistance, non-cash benefits. And what this rule does, this Trump rule does, is expand the definition of public charge to include a non-cash assistance such as SNAP benefits and Medicaid and housing subsidies. Individuals who apply for these types of non-cash benefits on a temporary basis while they are applying for their green card and visas. And so by applying for these benefits on a temporary basis, you would be denied a green card and or a visa to immigrants. And it's unlawful. It goes outside of the intent of what Congress intended. It's in violation of due process laws. It's in violation of equal protection laws. It's in violation of procedure laws, administrative procedures, procedure laws, and we cannot allow this to happen. And if New Yorkers say, well, you know, it sounds like a reasonable law, Tish, individuals should not get a handout when they come to this country. That's a
false.
Because
I was gonna ask. All immigrants, when we come to this country, we have to basically tell the federal government that we're not going to be a public charge, that we have the means to be by ourselves. So we don't need money from the government. We don't need like any kind of like assistance. Why do you think? Because this public charge rule, now it's been expanded, but it's been in place since the late 19th century. Why do you think this is so egregious? The federal government's only saying, you know, and I might be playing devil's advocate here. If you're here and you're a legal immigrant and you're taking advantage of some public assistance programs that you are indeed entitled to, then we're going to think twice about giving you permanent residency in the U.S. because maybe you are going to become a public charge forever.
So you're absolutely right. Again, this is not a handout, but a hand up, and it's one. It will have an impact on. It has an impact on our economy. It has an impact on our public health and long term impacts. The reality is if this rule went into effect, more children would go hungry. More people would be on the streets of New York City and all across the state of New York. More individuals would be in our public emergency rooms, in our public hospitals, relying upon an emergency system, which obviously is obligated to treat anyone who walks through their doors. And so it's really critically important that individuals understand that in the long run, this is going to cost us more money if, in fact, this public charge rule were to be expanded to include individuals who rely upon non-cash benefits such as food stamps and Medicaid and housing assistance, housing subsidies, and who rely upon it, again, for a short period of time in order to give them a hand up as opposed to a hand out. Individuals come to this country, again, not for public assistance. They come to this country, obviously, to take advantage of all that we have to offer in America. And it's important to understand that immigrants offer more those who rely upon public assistance.
You announced this lawsuit on Tuesday.
Yes.
You had a press conference. You were joined by city officials, city administration officials, by elected officials from the state and also from the city. And you and many of the speakers said that this new public charge rule is racist. Why?
Well, there were some comments that were made by the acting secretary and of Homeland Security and
Ken Cuccinelli.
Correct.
Of Citizenship and Immigration Services.
Correct. And so his comments were callous. His comments obviously focused, were dissuading immigrants, mostly people of color, women and children, from basically accessing these critical and vital food supports and health care and housing assistance.
Basically, and, what he said, what Coccinelli said, is just because he was transforming or changing that poem, Emma Lazarus poem that is etched on the Statue of Liberty, give me your poor, you're tired, you're poor. So he was saying, yeah, give me your tired and you're poor, but if they can stand on their own feet. So that's what Coccinelli was saying. But why do you think that's racist? Why do you think that the new public charge rule is targeting communities of color?
Well, it's important to understand that this administration has a long history of racial animus and has a long history, again, of targeting immigrants in particular, and in particular immigrants of color. And it's also important to understand that the president of these United States basically referred to certain countries as a-hole countries, and that this is being implemented. There are changes in policy from asylum laws to public charge laws to attacks against immigrants to travel bans at a time when a significant number of individuals are coming from countries where the vast majority of the immigrants are people of color. And it's important that we understand that this is really just an attempt to give individuals a helping hand to move them out of poverty and achieve upward mobility. And we all know that if, in fact, this rule were to go into play, were to go into effect, it would strain the system and services in other ways. And it's really critically important that we all understand that we have an obligation and a duty to respond to the needs of marginalized and vulnerable population. It speaks of our values. It speaks of who we are as Americans. And it speaks of our compassion as a nation. And so it's really critically important that we not, again, use the words of Emma Lazarus, that we somehow misinterpret those words and use those words against individuals who are coming to our country, individuals who are fleeing persecution, fleeing violence, and who are seeking economic opportunity in our country. That's what our country has stood for, and those are the values of our country, and we should ensure that those values are enshrined in our laws.
Like I said, you filed a lawsuit on Tuesday. The new rule will take effect October 15th.
Correct.
So for those who are not familiar with the legal process, what are you expecting from now till October 15th?
So our case, we have filed our lawsuit. We anticipate a response, obviously, from the administration. We're seeking an injunction before October 15th, before this rule goes into effect. Again, based on all the legal arguments that I raise, one, that this law violates the Constitution's equal protection guarantee because it's intended to discriminate against immigrants on the basis of their race and ethnicity. Two, that it violates the administrative law because it does not lay out the basis for this change in policy, this change in the rule. And three, it, based on, again, the remarks from Congressmember Espiat, as well as Congressmember Meeks, that it's inconsistent with Congress's authorization, and that this rule departs wildly from what Congress intended. And as a result of that, we feel confident that we will be successful in court, as we have been in the past.
You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Juan Manuel Benitez, filling in for Brian today, and we're talking to State Attorney General Letitia James. And the second lawsuit that you filed this week against the Trump administration was over the cleanup of the Hudson River. The state of New York is suing the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, for, and I quote from your press release, you're suing for violating federal law when the federal government, the EPA, issued a certificate of completion to General Electric Company for its removal of polychlorinated biphenyls from the Hudson River. According to your office, Attorney General, the EPA issued the certificate to GE on April 11th, 2019, finding that the company's required cleanup of PCBs from the river was complete, despite evidence that concentrations remain dangerously high in portions of the river. Can you please explain all this to us?
Sure. Before I go into that case, let me just give a shout out to the other states that joined New York on the public charge rule. Again, we filed with Connecticut and Vermont, but 18 other states have sued, again, with respect to the public charge rule. They include California, Colorado, Delaware, District of Columbia, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Virginia, and Washington, all of those states being led by Democratic state attorney generals, all of them my colleagues. Yes, we filed a lawsuit with Governor Cuomo against the EPA for violating federal law when it issued a certificate of completion to general election for its removal of PCBs in the Hudson River. The fish, as we know, the facts are clear. Hudson River, they're still contaminated with PCBs, and the EPA admits they don't know when or if they will ever be free of PCBs as a result of those facts on the ground. It's really critically important that we protect the Hudson River and that we challenge the EPA and we challenge their designation that, in fact, the cleanup has been completed by General Electric, and that is why we filed a lawsuit to force the EPA to follow the law and require General Electric to truly complete its cleanup.
And I was a little scared when I read your press release.
Did you eat some fish in the Hudson
River? That's what I was going to ask. Is it safe to fish in the Hudson River?
Well, let me just say that there are parts of the Hudson River where fishing is not allowed. In other parts, it is allowed. Again, Governor Cuomo has joined with me in this litigation. And as you may have known, several weeks ago, Governor Cuomo and I went to fish on Lake Ontario, and I urge everyone to travel Lake Ontario to fish and take advantage of all that is available in and around Lake Ontario. Individuals who fish at the Hudson River obviously should pay attention to this litigation.
So you went fishing with the governor?
I went fishing with the governor.
Did you eat the fish?
Yes, I did. Okay. Yes, I did. It was salmon, and it was absolutely amazing. And I urge everyone to go upstate to Rochester and to counties in and around Lake Ontario to go fishing, to take advantage of all that they have to offer in Lake Ontario. And also, I urge everyone to go to Syracuse and to our state fair. I'm going to be at the state fair on Monday. It's absolutely wonderful. More and more people should take advantage of all that New York State has to offer. New York State is a beautiful, beautiful state, and upstate is absolutely amazing and pristine. But we need to make sure that General Electric removes its toxic PCBs from the Hudson River.
General Electric, the company. And you're listening to the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Juan Manuel Benitez filling in for Brian today. We're talking to State Attorney General Letitia James. We might take a couple of calls for the Attorney General. You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That is 212-433-9692.
Let me also applaud the River Keeper. They joined us in that lawsuit against the EPA. A particular shout out to President Paul Gillet and also to Robert Kennedy. I want to thank them for all that they are doing again to make sure that the Hudson River is cleaned up by General Electric.
Moving on. Also this week, New York City Police Commissioner James O'Neill finally made a decision on the fate of the officer directly involved in the death of Eric Garner. O'Neill fired Daniel Pantaleo 5 years after Pantaleo's use of a banned chokehold killed Garner on a Staten Island street. Mayor Bill de Blasio was satisfied with O'Neill's decision. He said justice had been served. Throughout this long process, the mayor deferred to his police commissioner and waited for him to make the final call. First of all, Attorney General, are you satisfied with the decision from the police commissioner firing Daniel Pantaleo?
I respect Commissioner O'Neill, and I don't know if the word satisfied is the word that I would use. It's taken 5 years too long to seek some semblance of justice for the Garner family. My eyes do not lie. The video was clear. Right now what we really need to do is try to heal the rift that continues to exist between members of the police force and residents of the city of New York. And so Police Commissioner O'Neill has done a great job in doing that and in implementing some programs and allowing police officers to police our streets by walking, by engaging in community policing, which I totally support. But we, again, as someone who advocated for body cameras, we need to expand the body camera program. We need to use more technology mm-hmm. here in the city of New York.
Is that the decision you expected from the police commissioner?
Well, actually, I expected it a long time ago. 5 years took too long. It should have happened earlier. But I recognize the reasons that were used, that we were waiting upon justice. But as you know, the Department of Justice has closed its doors. The federal government has engaged in federal retrenchment. We're not getting any support from the federal government. It's really now all about states. And I can't believe it's states' mm-hmm. rights, and I'm defending the rights of New York mm-hmm. State. But it's some semblance of justice, but it certainly took too long.
Do you think Mayor de Blasio should have fired Pantaleo years ago?
I think when this administration came into being, we should have anticipated that the Justice Department was not going to take up this case, and this matter should have been resolved a long time ago. But we also need to really look at reforming our system and looking at speedy trial laws and making sure that although individuals who are accused of violations or accused of certain disciplinary rules, that they get their due process rights, but at the same time, that there be some speedy trial rules put in place so that we can get justice in a much more expedient in a fashion which is expected, and that is something in a more timely fashion.
We're getting some phone calls for you, Attorney General. We're getting also some tweets. If you listeners have something like a question for the Attorney General, you can also tweet at us at Brian Lehr, at Brian Lehr. And one of the listeners is asking if you can start a legal procedure to audit the illegal debt Wall Street want the people of Puerto Rico to pay. This listener is saying that, debt mm-hmm. Is illegal. We don't know if that's illegal or not,
right.
But are you planning on auditing the debt of Puerto Rico?
So the question is whether or not the Office of the Office of the Attorney General in the state of New York has jurisdiction to audit the debt in Puerto Rico. I don't know whether or not we've got standing to do that. I don't know whether or not we have the ability to do that. We don't have auditing functions. That's usually the responsibility of the controller of the state of New York. We initiate inquiries and investigations and engage in litigation based on pattern and practice. But I'll look to see whether or not we have jurisdiction in that particular area.
Okay, and let's talk about another lawsuit. Last month, you joined the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, in filing a motion to block President Trump from delaying the printing of the questionnaire for the 2020 census or changing it by including a citizenship question. In June, the Supreme Court rejected the legal arguments the administration used in its attempt to add the citizenship question to the census form. But the president is not giving in yet. What's happening right now in this case? Do you think that in the end, the Trump administration is going to come up with a way to include that citizenship question in the questionnaire for the census in 2020?
So let me just say that the Constitution of the United States talks about the census, talks about enumerating, counting individuals all across our country. It doesn't say just Americans. It says all individuals should be counted. And that is why we fought against the citizenship question, because it would have a chilling effect on the count, and it would have resulted in a severe undercount, which would have resulted in a loss of federal funds to New York, in a loss of representatives. It would have changed the formula with respect to how much money we receive from the federal government, the funding formulas, and it would decrease funding for so many urban areas, and particularly New York City and in communities all across the state of New York. And so I refuse to allow New York State to be shortchanged, and that's why we decided to stand up and oppose a citizenship question on the census questionnaire. It's because, also important to understand that the citizenship question has not been on the census form since 1950. Right. So now what is happening? We won in the United States Supreme Court.
Basically, what the Supreme Court said, you know, I'm not buying the arguments correct. From the Trump administration.
Yes.
I'm going to give the administration some more time if they want to come back to us.
Yes.
But the administration said initially, we need to start printing the questionnaire June 30th, last June 30th. But then the Trump administration said, well, maybe we'll wait a little longer. Do you know if they are printing those questionnaires already or if there's a time for the Trump administration to figure out the way to include that question that you don't want in the census?
So it's my understanding, and they have been ordered to print the forms, and they are printing the forms as we speak. It's also important to understand that the United States Supreme Court rejected the pretext that was used, and the federal government, Mr. Ross, decided to use the Voting Rights Act as a pretext for this citizenship question, which was a complete insult mm-hmm. to individuals who have supported and defended the Voting Rights Act. So now they are collecting this information. They're collecting it using other agencies, and this data sharing was something that has been used by the federal government in the past. However, in the state of Alabama, the state of Alabama is basically ignoring the law, and the state of Alabama is fighting to get the citizenship question on the census form in their state. And because the state of Alabama is being represented by a Republican attorney general, other attorney generals, such as New York, we have decided to step in and filed an amicus to defend the rights of individuals and to defend the law and to defend the decision in the Supreme Court. We will not allow individuals in Alabama to be undercounted.
We're going to take one phone call. We have Nicole in Manhattan. Nicole, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me. And hello, Attorney General James.
Hello, Nicole.
I first would like to congratulate you on all your hard work and in the spirit of Shirley Chisholm. I think it's really wonderful what you're doing. I wanted to ask you, when you were public advocate, you were very vocal in the removal of the people who were running the Administration for Children's Services, particularly in the beating death of Zymir Perkins, the
yes.
little boy.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you will be bringing up any charges against any of those individuals, if that's possible, or what your stance is on ACS at this time.
So thank you, Nicole, for the question. As most of you know, as the public advocate of the city of New York, I was accused of turning the Office of Public Advocate into legal services. And I was I had sued the administration on a number of issues, including but not limited to the Administration for Children's Services in the aftermath of the death of a number of children in their care. We continue to look at the Administration for Children's Service. We continue to monitor some of the decisions that are being made by this administration in a number of areas. We are monitoring the Administration for Children's Services, but it's also important that individuals understand that in our lawsuit against the city of New York, it also included the state of New York. And now I am in a position where I have to defend the state of New York and defend the children's services on the state level. So it sort of has put me in the middle put me in a difficult position. But at the same time, we can always issue reports. We can always monitor the activities and the functions of ACS, and we can continue to advocate on behalf of children in the city and the state of New York.
Attorney General Letitia James, how many times, have you sued the Trump administration in the 8 months that you've been in office?
I think we're at 17 once every, I think it comes down to one lawsuit every 2 weeks.
I guess that's why the president is not really happy with you. Like a few weeks ago,
yes.
He went to Twitter,
yes.
And he said, "It is very hard and expensive to live in New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo uses his attorney general as a bludgeoning tool for his own purposes. They sue on everything, always in search of a crime. I even got sued on a foundation which took zero rent and expensive and gave away more money than it had. Going on for years, originally brought by crooked Hillary's campaign chair, AG Eric Schneiderman, until forced to resign for abuse against women. They never even looked at the disgusting Clinton Foundation. Now Cuomo's AG, that's you, Attorney General, is harassing all of my New York businesses in search of anything at all they can find to make me look as bad as possible. So on top of ridiculously high taxes, my children and companies are spending a fortune on lawyers. No wonder people and businesses are fleeing New York in record numbers. To that, Attorney General Letitia James, you responded also on Twitter, "As the elected AG of New York, I have a sworn duty to protect and uphold state law. My office will follow the facts of any case wherever they lead. Make no mistake, no one is above the law, not even the president. P.S. My name is Letitia James. You can call me Tish." Can you elaborate?
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, I've got to inform the president of the United States that I'm an independently elected official, and that I do not I do not work for the governor of the state of New York, independently elected. And so I'm offended by the fact that he would think it necessary that the governor, who is a man, would somehow have control over my decisions. I want to thank him for referring to me as a bludgeoning tool, because the law should be used as a tool and also as a shield to protect marginalized and vulnerable populations and to defend the interest of New York. And that's exactly what I am doing. And that's why the voters decided to elect me into office. And three, he should refer to me by name. My birth name is Letitia James, but my friends call me Tish. And I urge him to refer to me as Tish, and I'm just getting started.
And like you said, you were elected during a campaign in which you said that you were going to go against the Trump administration if the Trump administration was going after the residents of New York State. But people also asked you during that campaign, are you going to also fight the corruption in Albany, at the state capitol? How is that going?
So let me just say, we have a responsibility and a duty to uphold the law and to follow the facts wherever they lead. And that is my mission, that's my function, and that's what I promised during the campaign. I'm not politicizing this office. What I'm doing is following the facts and the complaints wherever they lead. And the Office of the Attorney General, all the wonderful and amazing attorneys who work in this office, I'm so proud to be associated with them. They do a great job. And if you ever meet an assistant attorney general in your travels, you should just walk up to them and say thank you. Thank you for your hard work, and thank you for their commitment to democracy and to the rule of law. With respect to corruption in the state of New York, we are still looking at corruption in the state of New York, investigating any complaints that we receive in our office. We recognize that we were very successful in our legislative agenda this past session. We look forward to again having another successful legislative session. And again, whenever there are any complaints, we cannot talk about it publicly. We just have to follow the facts wherever they lead. And the rule of law applies to every elected official, including the president of these United States of America. No one is above the law. From the president to members of the legislature to anyone in office, it's really critically important that we uphold the law and that we honor the commitment and the faith that people put in us, and that we just not dishonor them by violating that law.
We've been talking to the Attorney General of the State of New York, Letitia James. Tish, can I call you Tish?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Can I call you Juan?
Yes, of course. Definitely. Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for all you do.
Coming up, Greenland. What's up with Greenland? Why is it that President Trump is so obsessed with buying that Danish territory? This is the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Juan Manuel Benitez. Don't go away.